You're listening to Growing in Christ, a ministry of LifePoint Church, featuring the teachings of Pastor Jeb Dodson. Join us today as we embark on an exciting adventure through the Word of God. Our hope and prayer is that you are blessed along this journey as you find a closer and fruitful personal relationship with your Savior, Jesus Christ. Now here's Pastor Jeb Dodson with this week's message.
Let me set up the scripture. If you get your Bible in front of you, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14, and we're going to stay there. And we're going to look into the story of, and I'll set it up for you, Jesus had just had this miraculous moment where he fed the 5,000. And the Bible says that's not including the women and the children. So there was many, many thousands that were fed. And he did it with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He made a lot of fish sandwiches, right? And so immediately, it says, immediately he told his disciples to get into the boat. So I believe, you know, after a big meal, if I'm thinking of this as I was reading this, when you eat a big meal, you don't want to immediately do anything. Am I right? Think about Thanksgiving. There's no immediately. You want to sit on the couch. You want to rest. You want to just take it easy. But Jesus immediately needed his disciples to learn this lesson. And so he sends them into the boat while Jesus does not go with them. He goes up on the mountain and pray. And so we got this video set up, and Vanessa's going to play it. And so just watch this video. I want to just break this down and we're going to start this around verse 22 of chapter 14. And let's just dig into God's word. The first two verses we're going to focus on is verse 22 and 23. And this is what it says. And we're going to break down and go a little more detail of what you just watched. It says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. Let's pray over the word. Father God, we thank you for your word. Your word is life. Your word is truth. God, in the middle of our own storm, God, let us rely upon your word as a foundation to get us through this, God. We thank you and praise you. Speak through your word this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. The first point that I want to get to is even before they get into the boat, and that is that prayer gives supernatural power before the storm. I think, and this is, I'm just guessing, that we didn't have near as many praying people 2 months ago as we do now. And I don't have to be a prophet to guess that. I'm just thinking that more people are praying now than has ever been around the whole world, because there is an unseen enemy that is just going out and getting people sick and killing people. And prayer is what creates this supernatural envelope around all of us. Praying before the storm will give us this eternal focus on temporary circumstances. There's two dimensions. It's one seen, that's the temporary, and the other that is unseen, that's eternal. Jesus had an eternal focus, where the disciples, they looked at what was temporary. See, of the two dimensions, what we don't realize is that the unseen is larger and is more real and is so much more important. The seen world is where the drama of the unseen world is played out. And I've said this before, that you as a believer, you're going through this world and that you're really trying to follow Christ, but there's obstacles in your way. Do you know that an obstacle, it could be more than just a coworker getting angry with you? You know, it may be an attack of the enemy. So there's a lot of things we go through that the supernatural realm is things that we must deal with. It spills over into us. But we just have a way of putting this earthly explanation to everything. We can live in the temporary and feel as if this is all that matters, or we can choose to view this life as the way Jesus did, as passing through. When we focus on the temporary, we lose sight of the things that matter. We instead look at what is passing away. John 2:15 says this. It says, "Do not love the world or the things of this world. The world is passing away. But the one who does the will of God will live forever." So this tells me that we need to start developing an eternal vision along with the temporary. God knows you need to eat. God knows you need to work. God knows you need to pay your bills. But there's so much more than that that we need to tap into. When our prayers are temporary, we tend to give God this shopping list of all of our needs. And when our prayers are eternal focused, we desire to touch the heart of God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You can finish the rest. Our needs become a second priority. So we will not survive the storm without this foundation of prayer being laid as we travel through this. Jesus prayed on the mountain so we could have the ability to pray in the valley. Jesus was up there praying, I think, it doesn't say, but I think he was praying for the disciples who were there in the boat. He prayed for them, he prayed for their faith, prayed that they wouldn't be scared. Then he's like, okay, let me go check on them. And he just starts walking on and out in the water. Right now, we're in the valley. And the storm and our prayers matter now more than ever before. And I think this is something that could be God ordained. Like I was saying just last week in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people would humble themselves and pray, God says, then I will heal the land. The next verse is verse 24, and this is what it says. It says, "But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary." My second point in this is storms happen for a reason. Storms, and I'm looking through and I started studying the different storms of the Bible. You know, there's three possible reasons that storms happen. And the first one, it's the storm of correction, direction, or perfection. If you're taking notes, you just start writing this down. The first one I get from the book of Jonah, and this is the storm of correction. The storm of Jonah is to turn the people back to God. You know the story. Jonah was sent to Nineveh. He hated the Ninevites, and he said they don't deserve to be saved. And he's a prophet, actually angry at the fact that God's sending him on this journey. I think, you know, we'd all be excited to hear the voice of the Lord, and we'd want to go and speak. But he knew if God was sending him there, that meant that they were going to be saved and there's salvation. And what did he do? He went the opposite direction. Instead of going to Nineveh, he went the opposite direction. He got on this boat, tried to stay low profile. He took off his prophet garbs and put on just a regular person. And in the middle of this storm, the sailor's like, "Man, this is not a normal storm. What's going on?" And Jonah says, "Hey, guys, it's me. Let me tell you, I was supposed to go to Nineveh, and I didn't. So all this is my fault. The only way you're going to get out of this is throw me overboard." And who would say that? But he was just telling the truth. And they did. And you know, he was swallowed by a whale. He ran the opposite direction. He disobeyed God. So the storm was sent in his direction. See, sometimes we may go through a storm because God needs to get our attention. God will always correct his own. And I think we kind of forget that. Once we accept Christ as our Savior and we say, "Lord, I belong to you. I am your child." Do you know that he can correct us like he does a loving father? And it's not, he's not being mean. He's not being cruel. He's just doing like you and I would do to our children and just correcting them to teach them to make sure that they're going in the right direction. He does this because he loves us. So the storm of correction, I believe it very well could be that we're going through this right now in the United States and all around the world, and God is saying, have you forgotten about me? Have you forgotten about not all these little made-up gods that you've made for yourself, but the one true God? Let me get your attention for a moment. Have I got your attention now? That's what it, as people are holed up, scared in their homes, God is saying, listen, I just need to spend a moment with you. Now that you don't have a job to go to, or you don't have entertainment, you don't have bars or restaurants or movie theaters, can I just spend a moment? It corrects our path, the storm of correction. The next one is, I see the storm of direction, and Paul, he ran into this storm, and you know in Acts chapter 28, Paul is that point, he's a prisoner on his way to Rome, and he has a destination, but on his way there, something happens in this storm, and he ends up shipwrecked on the island of Malta. And you know the story, even after he goes ashore, shipwrecked, he's trying to build a fire, gathering firewood, and he survives a storm, and a snake, a venomous viper, comes and bites him. And the villagers or the people in the island said, man, that guy, he survived the storm, but he's going to die because we know that snake, and you don't live after being bitten by that snake. But Paul, he just shakes it off into the fire, and he uses it as an opportunity. And what happens is there's this great healing ministry takes place there. Some healings take place. He stays there for a while. A great revival happens in the island of Malta. See, sometimes we go through a storm because God needs to get our attention, but sometimes there's a storm and it could be just a hidden opportunity. I'm sure Paul did not enjoy being shipwrecked. I'm sure he did not enjoy being bitten by a snake, but he says, okay, this is my current situation. God, how can I be used in this current situation? How can I still be your light? How can I be the salt of the earth even though I'm stuck on this island and I'm shipwrecked here? He was shipwrecked there and he used it as an opportunity. There are storms that may come that give us a hidden opportunity. It is up to us to make the most of the situation. I believe that this current storm we're going through is an opportunity to let the church be the church. In a way that the church has never been the church before. Unprecedented times that we can go and even not touching people, that we can encourage each other. We can make phone calls. We can text. That ability wasn't even available when I was a kid and probably when most of you were little, but it's available now that we can still minister into people's lives and their homes. So I think God is also seeing what the church is doing in this current situation. Think about that. If this is a storm of direction, could God have changed our direction just a little bit that we would make the most of this opportunity? I personally believe when all this is over, the churches across the world are going to have revival and they're going to grow. For those who would call on his name and stick close to the Lord, it's like this great falling away and this great revival that's happened at the same time. I see this as an opportunity for those to draw closer to the Lord. And I see it as an opportunity also for people who are just going to go the opposite way. The third storm that I find in Scripture is this. It's in Matthew chapter 8. We have the storm of correction, the storm of direction, and I call this the storm of perfection. In this storm, this is a storm to teach us faith. Jesus and his disciples, it's the same sea that we just watched on video, only Jesus was in the boat this time, and this storm rose, and Jesus is sleeping in the boat. And the disciples like freaking out. It's like, man, doesn't he care that we're going to die? We're being swamped here. How can he sleep through this? And so they wake him up and they say, Master, save us. We're going to drown. And Jesus said, you of little faith, why are you afraid? he stood up, he rebuked the storm, and they were just amazed, and they're saying, even the wind and the waves obey him. When Jesus is in your boat, there's never any need to fear. If you're watching this through live stream, or maybe you'll get a chance to watch it some other time, it's more important, I think, at this moment that you need to make a decision for Christ. Because if you don't, Jesus is not in your boat. And guess what? You need to be afraid right now. This is a time where you, if you don't have Christ in you and you're not saved, you don't, meaning you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior. You have not believed that he is who the Bible says he is, and he died on the cross to save us from our sins. You are in a storm and there is no hope for you. Jesus is not in your boat. I encourage you, get Jesus in your boat. For those of us who believe, we have Christ in our boat. And so it's like what Paul says, it makes sense. To live is Christ, to die is gain. That means that, you know, if I keep on going, if I'm still alive, I'm going to serve the Lord and do the absolute most I possibly can for the Lord. But if I die, I got a heavenly home. Jesus has made a place for me. I'm believing in those promises, so I get to go to heaven. So either way, I win. Either way, I win. That's awesome. That's something we're shouting about. But if you don't have Christ in your boat, do it now. Don't wait. Even before this video is over, hit the pause button and say, Christ, Lord Jesus, I accept you. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me. Fill me. Live in me. I belong to you now. I'm yours. He'll do it. He will fill your life. He will get in your boat, in your current storm. And then even in the middle of the waves, he'll stand up and say, peace be still. And everything else around is chaos, but just around you is like this. It's a bubble of calm. It's the craziest thing. Storms need to be put into perspective. And no matter what the storms are, you know, maybe you cannot put your finger on it. Why is this thing what I'm going through? Maybe it's a personal thing. Maybe you've lost your job through this. Storms in themselves, they have a purpose no matter what they are. When storms come, there's thunder and lightning, and it can be pretty scary. I know my dog hates it. You probably have a dog, too, that maybe goes, climbs, and hides underneath something. They hate it. But do you know, on a scientific point of view, that even storms, they have a purpose? There's this gas in the air, and it's filled with food. We can't see it, and it's called nitrogen. But the plants can't consume nitrogen. They need what's called nitrates, which comes from the nitrogen. And so what creates nitrates from nitrogen? Lightning does. It's the electrical charge in the air when lightning strikes. It turns the nitrogen to nitrates so plants can actually eat. What that means is if there was no lightning, if lightning were to stop today, the plants would start losing their food and they would eventually die. So with that in mind, it's just, even science speaks of it, is through the storm, there are benefits. It's amazing that what scares us, that we would never have enough faith to believe God or what he's doing, but without faith, we risk spiritual death because we are saved by grace through Christ Jesus, our Lord. What if the current storm that we're in could cause a great revival all across our nation, all across the world, that not only would the church grow, that the churches and the buildings themselves couldn't contain the people who wanted to come in? Like, every church you can think of in Houston County was so full, there were people standing in the parking lot. So we just had to say, you know what, we have to abandon this building because not everybody can come in, and we just have to have these open air times of worship. I think it's possible. I think it's very possible that there's a bigger hand at work. The third point in this is through the scripture that when it gets to the point when Jesus begins to walk towards them, and he calls Peter to him. You know, it took a lot of within Peter to step out. Walking on water is no easy task, and I'm thinking, I'm trying to put my shoes in Peter's shoes, and there's four things that I see through the scripture. We're just going to go through it that it takes. If you're taking notes, you can write this down. It takes four things: courage, obedience, focus, and revelation. Get your Bibles and come, just let's walk through this together. First we see it is courage, and I get this out of verse 25 through 27. And you can read along with me. This is what it says. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus was with them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Don't be afraid." The first thing we see is walking on water takes courage. We need courage as we are facing this coronavirus. We need courage if we are going to still operate as the church. If we are going to actually step out into the waters of faith, it takes courage. They're saying, "It is a ghost. This isn't right." I think we all would have been pretty freaked out about it, but Jesus says, "Be of good cheer, don't be afraid." It takes courage. The next is obedience. And I get this out of verse 28 and 29. You can read along with me. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." See, it takes obedience to walk on water. And here's what I see also. Do you know that Jesus didn't call all the disciples out on the water? He only called Peter. And I believe if maybe Thomas or John would have said, "Man, that's cool, let me try that," they wouldn't even step foot out there. They would have sank immediately. Why? Because he was called. But here's the thing. When Jesus calls, no matter how weird it is, how strange it is, if you've never done it before, it takes courage no matter what the action is. Peter actually had enough courage to get his foot as he's in the boat, get it out of the boat, and take a step. I mean, it doesn't seem like a lot, but I'm telling you, that's a huge amount of courage. Huge amount of courage. If we are not obedient to the Lord's call and the Lord's direction, then we will never overcome our current trials. I don't want to be like the Israelites going around and around and around in this desert. I mean, they were there for so long. How many times could they circle this desert? I just have such a hard time just imagining, because I've looked at the maps and I look at the square miles that they're in, and they were just going round and round, and I think it was obedience. Obedience and having fear for the future. And when they got there, the Lord turned them around and decided, because of the report that went forth, he said, "You know, a whole generation needs to die." Listen, we need to be the generation that makes it. We don't need to go round and round in a desert. We need to be the generation that says, "Lord, we don't understand this new thing you're doing, but we're going to have obedience and we're going to follow you in the new land." So it's courage, obedience, then focus. Verse 30 and 32, this is what it says. It says, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said, 'Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased." The third thing that I see in the scriptures, it takes focus. Peter is there. He steps out of the boat, puts one leg out, tries it, gets out, but he's looking at Jesus the whole time, okay? And so he's walking. He's walking. It's like we travel through this life. Jesus is our focus. But you see, as soon as he noticed the wind and he noticed the waves, then it dawned on him, "I'm standing on water." he began to sink. It takes focus to actually get out of the boat and stay on top of water. And it's not where you're standing. The focus is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Peter sank because he turned his attention from Jesus and began to focus more on the problem. We have to be wise. We have to be wise during this time that we're in. Some of you are watching, you may be thinking, I can't believe that the church was actually opened up, but you know we're wise. We have people sitting far apart. We have a large sanctuary. Nobody's sitting close to each other except families. So we're using wisdom during this time, and we're also exercising faith in this time. We're just focusing on Jesus. Finally, and this is the best part of the whole story, it's in Matthew 14, 33. And this speaks of revelation. It says, then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. The final thing, it takes courage, it takes obedience, it takes focus, but it takes revelation. To walk on water, we must recognize who he is. Didn't he make the water? Didn't he form the seas? Out of his mouth as he spoke, everything was created. We must remember who he is, and also we must recognize the authority that we have because he is in us. You ever think about that? The creator of the heavens and earth and the universe and everything lives in you. That is a powerful thing. Recognizing who he is and the authority that we have, it takes revelation. Courage, obedience, focus, and revelation. So as we close, and I want you to just really ponder this, I want to close in prayer. We need to pray that God would give a portion to each of us as we are moving forward in these trying times. Prayer is the only answer of the storm that is in America, across the world right now. Jesus said in the last days, it will be like the days of Noah. And that really spoke to me as I was moving through this. Like the story of Noah, there was an ark that would save the remnant of God's people. In the last days, this ark is not going to be made of wood or pitch. It is going to be an ark of faith. It is going to be an ark of prayer.
You've been listening to Growing in Christ, a ministry of LifePoint Church. If you are in the Crockett area, we would love for you to come and experience LifePoint Church for yourself. We hope you will find, like so many others, the joy and love felt from the presence of God in our church family. Together, we are better. For directions and times of worship, visit us on Facebook at LifePoint Church Crockett or call us at 936-544-8562. We would love to hear from you. Until next time, may the love of God richly bless and strengthen you.